is Lifeline, Melvin Munn from Dallas, with Freedom Talk number 66. The American public school system is being victimized. Socialists, education elitists, and ambitious politicians are using our schools. They want a society of robots, automatons, of mechanical response. It is through textbooks that the pattern and fabric of our basic spiritual order is being destroyed. In its place comes a humanist religion without morals or ethics. This is Freedom Talk number 66, and you may order printed copies at the rate of 2 for 25 cents from Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206. I'll be back after this message from our Lifeline sponsor.
Most American families have their own unofficial health program. A family physician, a competent druggist, a home medicine cabinet. And many of these family health plans include HLH Medical Center drugs. The health of the user is in mind when HLH chemists compound non-prescription drugs from tested ingredients that aid nature in keeping your body strong and healthy. The strict HLH standards
of responsible American education is under deadly and constant attack. What once was clearly the world leader in bringing literacy to a maximum number of our population has become a brawling ground, a sounding board for social reform, and a rallying point for some of the most irresponsible and idiotic proposals ever made in any school system. Liberal politicians and super-liberal intellectuals browbeat the Congress of the United States into using the public schools of this country to do a job vastly beyond the capacity of our schools. By law, they are deliberately using the public school system to bring about a formalized, mathematical, man-designed system of racial integration. Ordered by the federal courts, metropolitan public schools are forcing children to leave their home communities and travel by bus great distances in pursuit of a manufactured idea of racial mix. At the same time, the schools have sharply shifted from education in the basic principles of fact, known history, and proven philosophy into the tangled jungle of weird concepts of behavioral scientists who are never called to accounting for their miserable failures. Since Congress adopted the Elementary and Secondary School Act in 1965, funding it with increasing billions of dollars each year, we have suffered under graduate degree holders who plot courses of study designed to remanufacture every possible child. Such people are education elitists. They work under direct grants from the federal government in think tanks at strategic points around the nation. It is their job to produce innovations and new concepts for education. It is their job to create and plant in textbooks what they and they alone believe to be best for the child in school. The parent is ignored. The parent-teacher association is tolerated but given no authority or input. The taxpaying private citizen is allowed little or no voice. The school board is either made up of activist militants who dictate to the superintendent, or, as in most school districts, still composed of responsible citizens who are adroitly discouraged from meddling in any portion of the teaching exercise. The student and the nation are being most victimized, however, through the textbooks within the schools. For many years, alert, well-informed, and brilliant American citizens have been warning all of us of a deadly attack on the foundations of education. Among the thousands of private citizens engaged in this battle are Mr. and Mrs. Mel Gabler of Longview, Texas. Like most such private citizens, they became involved in this controversy when the eldest of their sons started bringing home elementary school assignments, textbooks, and quizzes shot through with amoral, immoral, anti-religious, and theoretical material. Every state has some form of textbook selection committee structure. So far as I can determine, the state of Texas has one unique provision in its education laws. As in most states, there are textbook committees at the local, district, and state level. In general terms, the district follows the lines of the federal district of the United States Congress. In practice, all members of such committees in Texas are teachers in Texas schools. The state textbook committee is appointed by the state board of education chairman. Proposed texts are surveyed and reviewed by the local committee with recommendations to the district, by the district with recommendations to the state, and by the state textbook committee to the state board of education. The one unique thing is that Texas law requires the state textbook committee to conduct open hearings where any responsible citizen may come to support or oppose the adoption of a particular book or books. It is because of that law that Mrs. Gabler and several like her have been able to repeatedly serve as a conscience of knowledge on behalf of the students in Texas schools. The state of California California also has an unusual requirement. They contract for the text of a textbook, but it must be printed in the state of California. These two states have an unusual influence on the rest of the states because of these local laws. It often happens that the publisher will adopt a revised form of the book for sale throughout the United States. That means schools elsewhere will escape some of the tragic results of one-world humanist and anti-American writers of school books. Let me give you some specific examples. Allen and Bacon distributed a book entitled Inquiries in Sociology. On page 37 of that little gem is this statement, quote, "There are exceptions to almost all moral laws depending on the situation. Most children learn that it's wrong to lie, but later they may learn that it's tactless, if not actually wrong, not to lie under certain circumstances." The very first sentence is a clear proclamation for situational ethics. That sentence reads, "There are exceptions to almost all moral laws depending on the situation." Situational ethics and the new morality both teach that there are no permanent moral laws or ethical rules. This philosophy stresses the thought that we should all be free to decide for ourselves at any given moment whether or not an idea or an action is moral or immoral, right or wrong, good or evil. Indeed, every effort is made to wipe out the concept that there is any such thing as good and evil. There'll be more on Education Victimized in just a few moments. This is Freedom Talk number 66, and you may order printed copies at the rate of 2 for 25 cents from Lifeline, Dallas, Texas. Facts in Sociology, published by Allen and Bacon for social studies courses, is shot through with destructive writing such as the one already quoted. There is an essay in that book under the title Charles the Tenth, in which both St. Peter and Jesus Christ are described as having been black men. The book goes on to state, even when the black man had built vast civilization, the devil white man was still living on all fours in caves. Christianity isn't the black man's religion. It didn't help the black to gain dignity and equality in America, for Christian love was white man's love for himself and his own race, unquote. That, my good friends, is being taught, or at least is available for the teaching, in vast numbers of schools across the land. It is a matter of historical accuracy, having nothing whatever to do with racial bias, to refute the claim that Peter and Jesus Christ were both black. It is a matter of historical truth to point out that Christianity in the United States is the principal foundation for the vast majority of Negro Americans. It is further true that it was Christian America that aroused itself from the lethargy of secular law and strives now desperately to extend the opportunity for dignity and equality in the United States for people of all races. In that same book, Inquiries in Sociology, Baptist services are referred to as steamy and frenzied as compared to the quiet and tasteful dignity of black Muslim religious observances. Prentice Hall publishes a companion book, Sociology, An Introduction, and it was strongly opposed by numerous citizens appearing before the Texas State Textbook Committee. This book gives lengthy coverage to homosexuality, elevating the status and the right to exceptional treatment of the participants. The book goes so far as to give places and times where deviants can make light contact. It raises the question, can one really understand the lesbian without being one? So obviously ill-considered was this book that the publisher had its representative to withdraw the book from Texas consideration. He merely said that the book was too advanced for high school students. It is too advanced for any bookshelf except that of the pornographer. Then comes that very small, highly vocal, and terribly determined group of females who have set out to produce the neuter rather than male and female sexes in public school textbooks. These women had great success in pressuring the state textbook committee to order the publisher of elementary texts to delete every reference to the word mother. Believe it or not, in a pre-primary book on just one page, page 58, they're going to change the word mom to Tom in four different places. For the second grade, books 10, 12, and 14, merely selecting a few references at random, changes mother to father four times, mother to Greg once, mother to we, and mother mended to tune ended. Yes, you would have to read the book for that to make any sense whatsoever. In a third grade book, the women libbers forced the school textbook committee to change the line, mother is showing me how to cook, to Roger is showing me how to cook. In another place, they changed housewives to Now, let me explain this, Gardie. What these women want the books in the schools of America to do is to show father in the kitchen with apron on, baking, cooking, cleaning the house, or whatever, while women are shown going out into the business and professional world as either an equal or primary breadwinner. There is a thing called fact and truth. The fact is that most married couples eat food cooked by the wife and mother. The fact is that most children look to mother to help them with their personal hygiene, dressing, and wardrobe. In most homes, they look to father or dad for help with homework, the repair of things mechanical, spending money, and permission to do something out of the ordinary. Mrs. Gabler released a statement to the press which said, "After all, why should textbooks be rewritten to eliminate women as mother as though mother and motherhood have become dirty words?" Still, the 26-member education board voted unanimously to adopt 140 other books recommended for schools by the textbook committee, many of which had been opposed by informed critics. I cannot believe that each of the 26 members of the Texas Board of Education knew what was in 140 books, but they approved them all unanimously. These are but a few of the ways in which education is today being victimized all across the land. Our schools have become factories with an assembly line form of teaching designed and produced by a handful of unfeeling, irreligious, and uninformed intellectual snobs. This is Freedom Talk number 66, and you may order printed copies at the rate of 2 for 25 cents from Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206. I'll be back after this message from our Lifeline.
Are you amazed that so few parents seem to ever so much as look inside the school books being used to brainwash their own children?
This is Freedom Talk number 66, Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206.